Hi guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Life Lately podcast. We're your hosts, Mel and Soph, and as always, we are so glad to have you join us. This week's episode is very real and something many of us, if not all of us, go through at some stage in our life, and that is imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. So imposter syndrome, by definition, can be defined as a collection of feelings of inadequacy that persist despite evident success. And that kind of really resonates with me so much that I thought, you know what, we should do a episode on this to discuss and be open as much as we can and frank about the struggles that we've had in terms of imposter syndrome, whatever stage of life that we're in and at. And I'm sure, Soph, that you've probably felt some form of imposter syndrome.
Oh, always.
Like, I should not be here. Yes.
All the time. And for me, I think it manifests particularly when somebody's trying to give me a compliment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. I do not know how to accept a compliment. I'm like, I'll look at the ceiling, look at the... And I'll try and brush it off very quickly to get the attention off of me.
Yeah.
And I never just celebrate me.
Yeah.
Just embrace what other people are saying about me.
Yeah.
I always think that, no, that can't be true.
That can't be true.
They're just saying that to make me happy really? You know, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of deflect it as well. When someone gives me a compliment, I say, oh, this is old, or, oh, yeah. And then I just quickly say, oh, you look great too. And just like take it off of me. Yeah.
And it's terrible. Career-wise, that plays out in a different way in that I don't put myself forward for things because I just don't believe I am capable or I'm able to do certain things, although I have done them previously.
You have done it,
So I'm not one to go for a promotion. Mm-hmm. You know, even annual performance reviews, when you're thinking about
them. Dread them.
I know. But you know, when you're thinking about your achievements.
Yeah.
I'm the first one not to really
shout about it.
Mm-hmm. When I'm doing my CV, I'm like, I don't know what I achieved.
Yeah.
It's
hard. I agree. Like in the workplace, oh my gosh, I've gone through years of the struggle. And sometimes it's a case where, I do actually know my worth. And especially when I'm seeing other people achieving, getting the promotion and stuff. There have been so many times where I have had to fight to get that promotion, to get that job change, to get that salary increase. And then when I do get it, then there's someone else who gets something as well, like gets an increase as well, and whatever, without them having to put that work in. It's like, and it's just so frustrating because I feel so like undervalued, and that is so frustrating. And so it then plays on me when I think, oh, I don't think I can do this actually.
Yeah.
And you're right, especially when looking for jobs and applying for jobs is so classic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if a lot of you can resonate with this, but whenever I've looked for jobs and I see one thing, it could be just one thing that I probably haven't done.
Yeah.
And I think, oh my God, I can't do this. Job is not for me. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And it's just really...
And this is a thing that most women go through.
Yeah.
And I think men are better at even shouting at things that they've never done.
They've never done it, but they're so confident.
But they're confident. But maybe, you know what, thinking about it, maybe it's because like in relationships, they primarily are the ones who go after a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll always go for some. It's almost like a challenge.
It's a challenge, isn't it? It's like, man, I'm going to get this one. And he could be so short. You know, there's some guys that are the ugliest. Oh, dear. We went there. But, you know, he could be really short or just, you know, whatever it may be, punching above your weight, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Whether it be ugly or short or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they have this certain type of confidence where it's like, you know what?
I'm going to go there. These are my lines and all that. And then we as women, either, okay, we fall for it or whatever, but we are not that confident. We don't have that confidence.
We look at what our failures are, our lack of, rather than what we have, and then just maximizing on that. And yeah, that's definitely something that I think needs to be exercised a bit more.
Yeah.
Here's a very interesting question. What type of imposter are you? So we have, and I don't know where Soph got all of these from.
A psychologist.
Anyway, there's apparently five different types of imposters or imposter sort of syndrome that there is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read them out, shall I?
Yeah,
and definition, and then we'll try and see
Where we fit. Okay.
I think I know, you know who you are? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think I might be all five.
Yeah, me too.
I've got issues. Anyway, so the first one is the perfectionist. And that is, if it's not perfect, it's not valid.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Yeah.
For sure. I am chief perfectionist. Chief.
Not one hair strand out of place.
Yes. And when it's out of place, I notice it so badly. I'm just like, yeah. But there's a hair. Yeah. And it's terrible because yeah. it means that I don't get things checked off my to-do list.
Yeah, you're
because they're not perfect.
Mm, interesting. And,
okay, there's perfection and there's high standards. I think everyone should have a high standard. But there's no such thing as being perfect.
Being perfect, not at all.
Are you a perfectionist now?
I can be. I'm a dweller. I dwell so much, especially when things haven't gone right, and it could be the smallest, slightest thing, and I just beat myself up and put myself down. I think, why didn't I do better? Why didn't I do that? So, slight perfectionist, but also just really beat myself up over it.
Okay.
The second one is the soloist. So if I can't do it all on my own, I'm not a real blank. X, Y, and Z.
Yep, that's me too.
Oh, God.
Okay, I like bringing people along the journey with me.
Yeah.
But I feel like I should know how to do this. Like, mm-hmm. I should be able to do this by myself. And, you know, I'm bringing somebody else along maybe for the company, mm-hmm. but not really to direct me or to show me how to do something. So I like doing things... alone.
Is it like, just to put it in perspective, is it like, say you're getting married mm-hmm. and you have a maid of honor
mm.
and technically the maid of honor is supposed to, you know, take care of things for you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then you end up under my direct.
Oh, yeah. Always. In fact, in marriage.
Ooh, that's marriage. Okay.
I know how to do this, man.
Uh-huh.
And then Carl is, you know, very helpful. But yeah. I'll show him how to do it as well.
Oh, Lord.
I never allow him to do it the way he thinks it should be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if you do it like this, you'll get it right. In fact, this is my saying.
This is your dialogue?
Let me show you a more excellent way.
Oh, wow. The Sophie way.
The Sophie way is more excellent. Okay, people? And that goes back to being a perfectionist.
Oh, gosh.
I know how this should be done.
Yeah.
So therefore, anything that's not done like this, although the results might be the same,
exactly,
it's just not.
It's just
a
different path.
Did you put in the same amount of effort?
Oh God!
Did you do the checklist 1 to 5?
Uh-huh.
Like if you didn't,
I wonder if Carl has some imposter syndrome in this.
He probably does.
I don't think I'm cut out for this, man.
Yeah,
not Sophie's way.
Yeah, poor guy.
The next one is
wait. Soloist for you? How about you?
Oh yeah, for me. Soloist. If I can't do it on my own, I do put a lot of pressure on I feel like I have to do this. It all lies on me to get it done, and mm-hmm. then therefore, the imposter syndrome comes where I don't know if I'm good enough. I'm just like overwhelmed in it all because I feel like no one else can help me.
Yeah.
But I still feel that weight of I have to do it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. The natural genius. So mm-hmm. again, I'm not getting this. So I'm clearly not made for it. Ah.
Yeah. This is me. And I must say, this came out, I guess, when I was doing my driving.
Ah, you know what?
Like, I was just... I don't know if I'm still getting it. Thank heavens. Like, we are safe
on the road. You better get it, girl. You are on the road on your own. You better get this.
I know. But the other day, yeah. I did another lesson with my instructor and we drove all the way to Heathrow Airport.
Oh, wonderful. So you hit the
We hit the motorway,
man.
Oh, my Lord God.
You didn't tell me about this.
Did I not? Okay.
No.
Well, honey, I did not enjoy it. And he's like, you know how to drive.
Exactly.
It's not anything different from driving on the A roads.
Nope.
It's just that maybe there are more lanes, but mm-hmm. I absolutely hated it so much. And I was just like, I'm not made for this.
Mm.
Like, I don't feel I'm made for driving. You know, some of us are meant to be chauffeur driven people. Like this driving business.
Uber?
Like we are supposed to be sitting at the back of a limo, you know.
A limo!
Doing whatever we need to do. No, you're not
fair
in
enough.
The driver's seat.
Fair enough, like checking your emails and
checking
stuff.
Checking my emails,
you know?
Being productive, you know.
But, oh my God.
I mean, I did it and we went to Heathrow and we came back in one
well
piece.
Done.
But I hated the whole experience.
Yeah.
But it's just like, but all you're doing is driving, something that you are now licensed to do and you've been doing successfully. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm just like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't get it. It's not for me.
Yeah, I think that's just life in general for me. I think for me, it definitely came when I was probably at school. Mm-hmm. Like naturally, I just don't like the education system.
Okay.
It wasn't for me. No. I mean, I got through it. I got to uni and all that jazz. But it's definitely, I definitely do feel like, gosh, why can't I get this? Mm. What is certain, I realized that I just think differently, and that's probably how it is. You just take in information, process things differently, and it's not always going to be straight away. And I struggle with that. Mm. And I'm trying to come to terms with actually, just because I didn't get it straight away, and just because someone, whether it be a colleague or so, or a group of friends, and they get it, they understand what they need. You know, when you have a task, you're briefed in a team meeting or whatever, and you're briefed. Everyone clearly knows what they need to do. And I'm the one that comes out thinking, shoot. What was that again?
Clueless.
Give me a moment to process it.
Yeah.
And just because I didn't get it straight away, it doesn't mean that I'm not made for it or that you're not for
absolutely.
It kind of thing. But it's easier said than done. It's definitely a process. Mm-hmm. The fourth one is the expert. Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time before someone asks me something I don't know, which will prove that I'm a fraud. I think that is a typical I think we're definitely imposter. Like, we definitely experience imposter syndrome. Yes, that is definitely a typical imposter syndrome moment.
Yes. Especially at work, like when you ask something and you can't.
Yeah, you're expected to know, especially if you are a manager or senior or something. It's almost like you should know this.
You should know this. And almost saying like I'll go and find out is like, oh my god, you don't know this? How can you not know this?
I know. It's interesting. That's why I just think, God, can I ever be a CEO or director or someone? Because I'll be like, let me get back to you on that one. Yeah. But I suppose that's why you have the team around you who are experts. But when you're supposed to be the one who's the expert.
Yeah. I was reading something and somebody was saying, and this person was a student and they were at Harvard. And they felt like an imposter because they didn't know the subject matter. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, you're a student. You're here to learn. How are you feeling like?
Yeah, it's true.
Like you should know what the teacher is about to teach you before.
We put so much pressure on ourselves. Taught.
Yeah,
I think the pressure of me comes where in a situation like an interview.
Oh yes. Oh, for sure.
Especially when you ask something you don't know. That's where you just have to be creative.
And that's the one place you can't say, I'll find out.
I'll get back to you. Oh my God. Like, seriously. Ooh, oh, child. Could you imagine?
I know.
I don't know how you're a fraud. But no, it's that fear of, and I think we need to learn, it should be okay to be like, you know what? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Let me look up in that and refresh and then get back to you.
Yeah.
But we're just not always...
Or even say that you can come back. Can we come back to that question?
Can we come back to that?
Give me a few minutes to collect my thoughts.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Mel, wow.
Mad.
We're ticking all the boxes. Ooh,
we're ticking all these boxes. What type are we? All of them.
All of them.
Number five, the last one, is the superwoman or superman. Mm-hmm. If I were legit, I'd be crushing everything. All the time. No room for slacking. No room for mistakes. Mm. Do you know what? I feel this, and I'm sorry to bring the whole race card thing into it, but typically, as not only a female, but as a black female, that I feel that there is absolutely no room, especially in the workplace.
Yeah.
Absolutely no room whatsoever to fail, to slip up, to get things wrong, to not know anything. And it's just, I feel the pressure. I really do in my everyday workplace. It's so real. Mm-hmm.
And even as a mum,
right,
I must say, this superwoman complex that we have. We have to keep the house clean. The child is fine. You know, they're thriving. I'm thriving as a woman. I'm thriving as a career woman. I'm
thriving as a wife.
I'm thriving as a friend. Like, I have all the... Everything is being juggled and nothing is falling.
Oh, my gosh.
And then when one thing falls...
Oh,
and
best believe.
Sometimes you go visit friends and the first thing they'll say as mom's like, oh, I'm so sorry, the place is untidy. I'm like, but... Mm. Life is not just about tidying, is it?
Yeah,
you've done 99 things correctly, but one thing.
Yeah,
and actually, let me not even use that correctly. You've done 99 things, and the one thing that you haven't done becomes the focus.
Yep,
and then you tell yourself that you can't do it just because one thing slipped.
Yeah. And I feel, because obviously I'm not a mum, but I feel that way in my career, mm-hmm. whereby I'm doing everything else, but it's that one thing, and this has happened before in a work situation where it's this one little thing that I hadn't provided or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's just mm-hmm. like, that's the focus on it.
Yeah.
And it's just like my counterparts were just slacking in areas as far as I'm concerned. And everything's cool and jiggy. Yeah. But it's that whole being like, you have to be a superwoman, that you have to always. And then when you want to say, you know what, I can't, I am struggling, and I hate trying to use that word struggle, because again, that looks like a failure. It looks mm-hmm. like something's wrong. It's mm-hmm. like, we're watching you kind of thing. It's just that horrid feeling of like, yeah, if I actually had everything together, then I'd be crushing it. If I was legit,
yeah,
then there'd be no problems. Yeah. That's not really life, though, is it?
So, but okay. So clearly, we've identified as all five.
We're all five. But which one do you feel
I'm the most of?
Lord,
I think I'm equally all five.
Oh no!
Because they
had to choose one.
I don't know if I can choose one. Only because they show up in different areas of my
they
life.
They do. That's true. That is very true.
But in general,
mm-hmm.
I'm a perfectionist.
A perfectionist.
Yeah.
Ah.
What about you?
Oh, I mean, I hear you. You're right. Every single one is a tick. I think it's a toss between the natural genius. So if I'm not getting this right, okay. I'm clearly not made for it. And the superwoman.
Okay.
It's a toss between those two.
All right.
I suppose the number three then. The natural genius.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But,
so,
yeah,
but where do we think all of this comes from? Is it how we are raised? For me, I'd say it's...
Is it how you're raised?
I think it's how I was raised.
Okay.
And now thinking about it, it could be also how I'm raising Nia.
Oh.
To be on top of things, to get things done, you know, like...
Yeah, but when she probably hasn't done something right or whatever, you're not hard on her.
I am.
Like, oh, right.
Actually, no, it's terrible. It's something I'm very conscious about. And sometimes my husband has to be like, hang on, she's a child.
Yeah.
She will probably not get this right even after 10 times.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
And I know I can see that in her now. Like if she doesn't get something right the first time.
Yeah. She's just like, I can't get this.
Yeah. And okay, I'm working on it. Lord, give me strength.
Yeah.
I'm really working on it so that I'm not that person that, you know, because, you know, when you're growing up, it's like your grades, you're this, you're that.
Yep.
Have you done this? Is your,
yep,
are
you on top? You have to be an A, straight A student in every single subject. And
exactly.
That's just crazy.
It's, yeah, it's mad.
It's mad.
You're not good at
everything.
You can't
be good at everything. No one's good at everything.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think for me anyway, from childhood, it was like you had to. And then also being a Christian, mm-hmm. and you have to be XYZ. So if you're not XYZ, I'm sorry, you're going to hell.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
That's just how it is.
I think that's
so then
definitely...
you're like, I must be.
Yeah, and then when you slip, then it's like, I'm in this funk for a long while.
Yeah, yeah. And the expectations actually, and I'll say not just my parents, but, the church, because my parents were like elders in church and all that. So everyone's eyes were on us.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we did something so small,
mm-hmm.
trust and believe my mother has had about it,
yeah,
even before she gets, so when she's coming home, she's already coming home like, what did you do?
Yeah,
because somebody has told me, somebody saw you, and you're like, man, can I breathe? Is there grace?
Yeah. No grace. For me, I don't think it was growing up, to be honest.
Okay.
I think, yeah, my mom's like a powerful force. Like, she's just like no nonsense kind of lady in terms of, hey,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do it because I can, kind of thing. So it wasn't that. I, to be honest with you, it happened when I started working
okay.
in my career. That's when it just
oh,
came
career.
In.
All right.
Yeah, it was just horrid. I mean, even education, yeah. I mean, when I was at uni, I was smashing it. I was getting the grades. I was getting the first and the two ones
mm-hmm.
in my assignment. I was like, yes. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a magazine editor. I'm going to do this. I'm going to smash it. And then the recession happened. And from there, it just went downhill.
Mm.
But it also was just that struggle of working and that pressure as well, I suppose, that if I don't perform well, I'm going to get sacked. And if I get sacked, it's just going to be not only embarrassing, but it's going to be a case of would I be able to provide? And you know, it's just, yeah, I think that definitely came in and seeing all those other different personalities and seeing this quote unquote, work culture mm-hmm. and office politics really play.
Yes, office politics.
And it's just like, right. You're either with it or if you're not with it, yeah. then you're going to get left behind. Yeah. And I'm not the type of person. Yeah, you're axed. Because if you're not liked, to be honest, and they have a way of really, you know, working things to their favor. If you're not liked, then you can do whatever. You can be hitting those targets. But
yeah.
And so I really felt that and seen that all throughout my career. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely where the imposter syndrome has played in.
Okay.
Heavily.
All right. Well, yeah. Then, I think we've talked about how this has shown up in our lives.
Well, we definitely touched on careers. Mm-hmm. Touched a bit on parenting as well, of mm-hmm. course. Mm-hmm. Has it showed up in friendships for you?
Ooh. No. I don't think so.
Okay.
The perfectionist in me shows up. Because I want to be a really, really, really good friend.
Uh-huh.
But I've never seen myself as I'm not a good friend. I've never self-deprecated
okay.
in my friendship.
Yeah.
Because I do put in effort. So
you do put in effort. Okay. So she says.
Yeah, I do.
Who told you that? No, I'm joking.
I know. Nobody needs to tell
Sophie
me that.
Sophie has no imposter syndrome.
No, friendships wise, no.
You're good.
Because
which
I think
good,
also my friendship good. Circle is very small. And
oh,
those
yeah.
are people
that
I love and I trust and, you know.
That helps.
We know how it is. So, uh-huh. yeah. What
yeah.
about you?
No, I don't think I have imposter syndrome in friendships at all because I find that all my friends are like me. Like, you know, we have things in common. So there's no way that I feel
that
like,
you feel less,
yeah, less than less or than anything more. Like that. So yeah, thankfully, it hasn't really shown up in friendships. In terms of relationships, like
yeah.
romantic relationships
yeah.
or being a wife, like that imposter, like, do you feel like, oh my God, am I a good, what is a good wife? Or am I that?
I mean, am I at the beginning, it? I did when I was a new wife.
So yes. you did have that imposter syndrome?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did do my best to be the wife. Of Carl's dreams. I don't know if I ever achieved that.
The wife of dreams.
I don't know. I don't even know if his dreams are really... yeah, but I saw the overachiever
mm-hmm.
in me came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be that girl who was like, Friday night, I am killing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to dress up.
Yeah.
The meal is on the table.
Right.
All those things
mm-hmm.
I did. And then there's a time, you know, when you kind of settle into marriage and those things no longer kind of excite. Then I was just like, oh.
Yeah. It's that night. Like,
hang on a sec.
So it's like switching it up somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point I thought, oh, is it me?
Yeah.
Maybe it's me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's how I look. Maybe it's, you know, whatever. But I think since then I've kind of, again, you set a rhythm and
yeah,
you get on with it.
You
really.
Get on with it, so you're cool.
I'm all right.
I think when it comes to dating, because mm-hmm. I'm not married yet, but I don't have imposter syndrome, like because I feel like I'm in a really good relationship.
Yes.
But definitely when I was dating and gosh, it was horrid because I would think, I would have to be a certain way and, you know, be to find someone who's attracted to you and stuff. You have to be a certain way. Like, mm-hmm. oh, but what if they like this girl over here that's got the longer hair or got the this and that can hold a really good conversation? Am I intelligent enough? Yeah, there mm-hmm. was a lot of that. And yeah, but now... I mean, sorry, Chris, but... but, mate, I'm good.
You're good.
I'm actually all right. I don't feel like...
during a breakup? I'm just trying
to think. My God, the breakups are the worst.
That's when you really just flog yourself, right?
Definitely. I remember one breakup I went... Oh, it was horrid. And now still, I just wish nothing but him getting run over by a bus. But that's myth love.
Oh,
that's
God.
Totally with I let it go. And wouldn't give two toots what happens to you, to be honest. But it was definitely
But did
that.
You think it was you?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like, you caused this, or?
Yeah, I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I wasn't that superwoman, or the perfection. Like, it was a lot of, like, oh, my God, like, because I think I'm a great person, really. Mm-hmm, but clearly, when you go through a breakup, you don't feel that way, and you start to second guess yourself.
Yeah, question yourself.
And that whole, and then when you go into a new relationship, depending on how long it's been or if you've gotten over it or whatever the case may be, yeah, there would be that, you would creep up where you would think, am I, is this relationship going to last? Are they going to see that I'm actually faking it? Not that you're faking it, but that I'm a fraud, that I don't have myself together or anything like that. Yeah, yes. Definitely, I think it can show up in there. But it's about being confident and knowing that you are great, and
you are great.
Yeah,
just so, as you are.
Yeah, those imposter syndromes are real, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But how can we, you know, combat this? So for all those out there who are feeling imposter syndrome, whether it be in the workplace, career,
like us,
in life in general.
In life in general, we are just imposters.
Oh my God. What the hell? Yeah, so are there ways to kind of combat this?
Yes, I'd say the first thing, and I hope you've done the self-love challenge, because I think some of this stems from how you view yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So paying attention to what goes on in your mind about yourself. What do you say to yourself about you?
Mm-hmm.
And then how can you reframe those thoughts and feelings? So I think one way is maybe write down, you know, everything that you think is negative about yourself. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Like, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not good enough, whatever, mm-hmm. I'm not an expert, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the right-hand side of your paper, write something to combat that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are beautiful. Yeah. You are mm-hmm. an expert at something. Mm-hmm. There's something you know better than somebody else.
Yes.
That's for sure. You may not know everything.
Whether it be cheese or anything like that.
Absolutely. Like, you, I know where the best chips are. I'm an expert in chips. Okay.
Hey, okay. You tell me about this, man.
I may not be an expert in quantum physics. However, I do know a good chip.
You know, that will save someone's life, honestly. Chips,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah, just starting with the thought process. Because, you know, mm-hmm. there's, you know, what power. You think is what you are.
Yeah, what really. You are is so powerful.
It's like it becomes...
It affects everything.
Yeah, it becomes a reality.
It really does. It's quite scary, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So start there.
I would say, just to piggyback off of that, mm-hmm. and something that I have been doing is definitely listing your successes and celebrating them.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the workplace because I'm very passionate about this. I might just even just do something on career.
Yeah.
But I keep a folder called a superhero folder, or you can name it anything you want. And that I've always put in, whether it be emails or a list of things where a colleague may have thanked me for solving a problem for them, doing something, mm-hmm. put it in that folder.
Mm-hmm.
If I've achieved something, or, you know, whatever the case may be, put it in that folder. And anytime that I'm feeling a bit down or whatever, or doubting myself or my ability, I go back to that folder and think, gosh, actually, I can do this. I am able. I can do this. And it will help with your CV. It will help with everything. I would always say refresh your CVs and always in your CV. I know mm-hmm. I'm talking about career. I don't know why I'm going there. But if you haven't already, I would definitely include in your CV achievements, what you've achieved in your job.
Yeah.
As well as your role and responsibility, list your achievements as well, because it'll not only make the whoever's reading it see, oh, okay, this person is really good, but also, you know, give yourself a boost and think, wow, like, I did that.
Yes.
Absolutely. And if I can do that, I can do anything. I don't have to be an expert in something. I know I'm capable of learning something new and doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so the third one, which piggybacks actually off what Mel has just said, especially if you have your
superhero folder.
Superhero folder is separating feelings from fact.
Ah.
If you have a superhero folder, mm-hmm. then those are facts.
Yeah.
And no one can argue with fact.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of times, most of these feelings of inadequacy
mm-hmm.
Usually come about either because somebody has said something or you're not confident in doing something. However, if you employ Melissa's method of a superhero folder, then you have the facts to back up that mm-hmm. you are actually
capable,
and you're good at. And if you have, like, the emails that you've said, this is something that other people can see in you
mm-hmm,
that you are not able to see in yourself in that moment.
Especially when you have issues with, bigging yourself up. It's like, actually, someone else is doing it for me. So this is what someone said about me.
Yes.
Yeah. So it kind of helps.
Absolutely.
Definitely stop comparing yourself to others. Good way to combat that imposter syndrome is thinking, oh, but I'm not good like that person over there. That person over there can do it. Or, you know, everyone.
Or they've been able to achieve something faster than you or whatever. Something. And then you flog yourself for it.
Don't look at others. Concentrate on yourself for sure. Because, anything could happen to anybody else where they're feeling insecure about something else. So everyone's feeling insecure about something. So don't always put someone else on a pedestal and think that, my gosh, they can do all things. No, you know, to be honest, you can do all things through Christ.
Absolutely.
Who strengthens you?
Yes.
And if you have him in you, I know I'm preaching, but you definitely can do it. You can do anything. So stop comparing yourself to others for sure.
The fifth one is accepting compliments. And if you've done the self-love challenge, you know there's a day where we just accept all the compliments that are coming.
You embrace
our
it, girl.
Embrace
and guys.
It.
Embrace
relish
it.
Relish it. Take it in. And actually, be real in how you're taking this in. Don't just be like, oh yeah, thanks, and keep it moving. I think actually stop and think about what that
Dwell
person has said.
Yes.
Dwell in it. Yeah, make yourself feel good, man. And you know what? Compliment yourself as well.
Definitely.
You know, recently actually I've been waking up and you know after I get dressed and all that I stand in the mirror and I'm by the mirror I look at myself and I'm like, girl, you're fine.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Nobody else may say this to you today, but
yes,
we
girl.
Know this as a fact.
Hey.
Okay.
Yes, that's so healthy.
Yes,
though.
I
well
love
done.
My hips.
I love it too. I love your hips, girl.
I'm looking at my legs right now. I'm like, oh.
I love your legs too.
I love my little skinny legs. All Kenyans have skinny. Not all Kenyans, but most Kenyans have skinny legs.
Skinny legs.
I guess they help us run. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
but, you know,
impressive.
Just look at yourself and appreciate the person that you are presently. Mm-hmm. Not what's going to come.
True.
Where you are today. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Human. Yeah.
Here's one for you, Soph, and for the rest of us out there as well. stop being a perfectionist and get rid of the fear of failure.
Mm.
And as Henry Ford says, failure is only the opportunity to begin again more intelligently.
So
learn from your mistakes and accept the failures, because failure is going to happen. It's part of life. And don't see that as a downer or a challenge, but see that as an opportunity to do better, learn from it.
Yes, absolutely.
And move on.
Yeah,
it's all good.
And it's not like, you know, sometimes we take failure as like it's the end of the world, and it really isn't, because
it's really not.
Tomorrow you wake up and life goes on,
and life goes
and
on
and people forget and they move on something else.
Yeah.
So don't take it too deeply, too seriously if you fail at something. We all fail at something.
Yeah.
There's no one who has never failed.
It's true.
Right? The important thing is that you learn from it, you grow from it. And it's you move on, darling.
And you move on. And grow. Yeah, grow. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is it, guys. I really do hope that, you know, this has really touched you and you are able to resonate with it. If you are, you know, suffering from imposter syndrome, I really do hope that this podcast has really helped you and edified you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're all going through it. We're all imposters.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. We're all in this together. So I hope that you are able to take away some useful points. And yes, so guys, thank you so much for listening. And as always, please join the conversation on our Instagram at LifeLatelyPods. Also, do like, subscribe, comment, share this podcast. And yeah, we hope to have you join us on our next episode. Stay tuned and thank you. Bye.
Bye.